Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this beautiful Lord's Day. As the first Sunday of the month, we're going to be observing the Lord's table. Before we do that, please turn in the Word of God to the book of Jude. That is just before the book of Revelation, maybe an epistle you're not familiar with, but we've examined the ordinance of the bread and the cup in terms of being the Lord's table, and we've broken it down into its various titles through history and scripture. We've seen it referred to the Lord's table, which acknowledges Jesus' lordship over our lives. We've talked about it as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, and that refers to this ordinance as a covenantal meal. It represents our redemption in Jesus Christ. We talked about it, how it's referred to at times as the breaking of bread. And this symbolizes an expression of intimate fellowship. It calls for our rejoicing. We've talked about this ordinance as Holy Communion, which acknowledges our sharing in, our participation, both in Jesus Christ and with one another. And last month, we talked about this ordinance as the Eucharist. It's a title that we don't ourselves use so much, but the title itself comes from a word that means thanksgiving. And this is an appropriate time for thanksgiving. Well, this Lord's Day, we're going to consider a final title for the ordinance that has been used in history and in the New Testament, and that is the Love Feast. The Love Feast. Now, you may have never referred to the Lord's table as the Love Feast, but this was one of the most or more commonly used titles by which the early church referred to this ordinance. And this, as I said, does appear in the New Testament in Jude, this little epistle right near the end of your New Testament, Jude, verse 12. There's only one chapter. Jude writes and says, "These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, carrying for themselves clouds without water, carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted." In the context here, Jude is writing to warn the church against false teachers and apostasy. But he mentions in doing so how that some of these false teachers had infiltrated even the Christians' love feasts. What was that? What were these agape feasts? Well, turn over to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. This is that passage where Paul is instructing the Corinthian church on the Lord's table. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, "Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink?" Here, Paul rebukes the church for making the Lord's supper to be more about a supper than about the Lord. And he goes on to describe verse 33, "So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment." What Paul is saying is, let this time of the ordinance not just be a supper, let it be a time to commemorate the blood and body sacrifice of our Lord. Now, why would Paul even give that instruction? Because in the early church and in Paul's time, the church gathered together and observed an actual meal. They actually ate a meal. They actually feasted with one another. And they brought what they had, kind of like what we do with our potluck fellowship after the services. And we don't know exactly what that looked like, if they observed the Lord's table right before or right afterwards or in the middle of that meal. But the bottom line is the church was eating together. They were worshiping around a meal. I remember that at my church that I attended in Queens, we used to have this called something we called the agape dinners. I think we did it every once or 2 months in a year, and everybody would bring their own ethnic dish, and it was great. It was just one of those things you look forward to. And I used to think, well, you know, this is a great thing to do because Christians like to eat good food, right? Christians like to share a good meal together. But there's actually a biblical precedent for that. And I think that has to do with what we see in Scripture as the agape feast, the love feast. The word that Jude uses in Jude 12 to describe this feast is agape. It is that selfless, giving love. And so when we come together here to observe the Lord's table, we should ask ourselves, as we've asked in every case when we considered a different title for this ordinance, what is the appropriate response? Well, when we come to the ordinance of the bread and the cup and we think of it in light of the fact that this is the love feast, this is the agape feast, our only appropriate response could be selfless love, that agape love to Christ and agape love to one another. As Jesus said in John 13:35, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. In the early church, Tertullian tells us that the pagans were struck with the witness of Christian love. They said, behold how they love one another. And if anything should represent that, should illustrate that, it should be this time of sharing together. As we remember Christ's selfless love to us, we reciprocate that by showing our love for Christ and for one another. That's, I believe, an appropriate response to the table this morning. With that, let's pray.